It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. If all goes well, a year from now, school district officials in Sitka will cut the ribbon on a huge new vocational education building. The Sitka School Board last night approved spending $135,000 to begin design of an unusual project at the high school. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
What can you do with 8,000 square feet? Ask Randy Huey, formerly Sitka's high school woodshop teacher.
A steel building. Very simple and tall enough for us to build a small house inside on a trailer and take it out.
Huey has come out of retirement to oversee the construction of Sitka's vocational education facility. The city received $2.9 million in funding from the Department of Commerce for the structure in 2012. It's hoped that Huey can pull together all the threads to make the project happen in a year. To jumpstart things, Huey told the school board that he and Sitka's Public Works Director, Michael Harmon, elected to seek bids from design and build contractors rather than go through a more conventional process. Huey's review committee selected the team of McCool Carlson Green Architects and CBC Construction, who recently partnered on the creative renovation of Pacific High School.
The experience of this team is not as deep as some of the other experienced teams, but the structure that they provided was the most appealing for the educational purposes. They gave us the best idea.
Their idea is a large, useful building with four car lifts, a lot of garage doors, and a lot of room.
There isn't much fancy equipment in it. It's just a big space with light, a modest amount of heat, and out of the weather, so students can build a variety of things. The community is going to find this a good and useful space for so many things for a very long time. I think of all of the plays that we build sets for, and you just need big spaces to do things. There's going to be a lot of good things happening in this building over the years.
The structure will occupy space between the existing high school shops and the back gym, an area currently enclosed by chain link fence. Huey says the building will primarily serve as workspace. Although computer-aided design and computer-controlled milling machines are playing a larger role in high school shop programs, Huey says students still need to work with their hands.
You know, as educators, there's this tension between having a computer, run a torch to cut something out versus the hand skill to do that. Because we cannot let go of that hand tool skill stuff yet at all.
Earlier in the meeting, the school board recognized elementary school teacher Rebecca Himshoot, who has won a national teaching prize for science. Huey said vocational teachers shared Himshoot's goal of connecting with students.
In the career and tech ed areas where kids get to build stuff, get the hands-on, engagement is easier to achieve. And if they can build real things, then in lasting things, things of value, things of beauty, things of usefulness, that engagement is all the higher.
The school board voted unanimously to award the initial design to CBC Construction and McCool Carlson Green Architects. The Sitka Assembly must also sign off on the deal. Huey anticipated that much of the construction could take place this summer and fall, and the building will be open for classes by the beginning of the second semester next school year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
One bar in Wrangell made the decision to go smoke-free as of January 1st. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver spoke with the owner about the decision.
Ramey's Bar is one of three year-round, open-to-all bars in Wrangell. There are also a handful of members-only clubs and seasonal establishments that serve alcohol. But if you think of just a plain old bar, there's only three. And Ramey's decided to go smoke-free on New Year's Day of this year. Ramey Privett is the owner of Ramey's. He says he made the decision not for the stereotypical reason.
It's more of a trend. It had nothing to do with health. My employees down there, they've never voiced an opinion either way.
There are towns where going smoke-free would be an obvious choice, but Wrangell isn't one of them. If you walked into a bar here on any given day, you'd probably see a cigarette in many, and sometimes the majority, of customers' hands. But the state and the country are following a different trend.
You know, it's just kind of the way the world's going. I think very shortly you're going to see that the state of Alaska is going to do this. Palmer just went smoke-free. I know in Wasilla, there's two bars up there that you can still smoke in. And Anchorage is smoke-free, Juneau smoke-free, Petersburg smoke-free. I mean, it's just the way it's going.
Privet says it's an idea he's considered for a long time. But when he bought the bar 6 years ago and a possible smoking ban throughout town was on the table, he chose to vote for allowing smoking because of the stringent regulations that come with being smoke-free.
I wasn't against a smoke-free bar. What I was against was all the stuff that went along with it. If somebody got caught in there, the bartender would be fined, the bar would be fined.
He says he hopes that being in front of the possible future trend here will perhaps give Ramey's some room to help shape its own smoke-free policies.
Right now, we're just asking people to step outside and have a cigarette. Other towns, you have to be 20 feet away from any opening. And all we're trying to do, we're not police, we're just bartenders. We're just trying to make it so everybody can enjoy it. And if you're going to smoke, we just ask you to go outside. It's not, to me, it's not a big deal. And I've talked to a lot of smokers and they say it's not a big deal to them.
Privet says he does worry about losing old business, but he says he's seeing a lot of new faces in the bar since the ban went into effect. The choice to start in the middle of winter was also deliberate. Privet says it is a slow time for business anyway, so it's a good time to test out a new system. And yes, this is a test, but Privet says he hopes his bar can afford to stay smoke-free.
I've wanted to try it for a while. I'm not sure if I can say it's going to be permanent because this is my livelihood and I'm not going to lose myself if this doesn't work. But so I guess you could say we're testing it out, but I really want to stay smoke-free. It's kind of nice.
Privet says Ramey's will still sell tobacco products like the other bars and liquor stores in town. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is once again offering scholarships to students attending college, graduate school, or vocational technical programs. Only Sea Alaska shareholders and their lineal descendants are eligible. Institute President Rosita Worrell says up to 400 scholarships are awarded each year.
A major consideration is the hopes, you know, that our educated young people will come back home and help us in developing strong, healthy communities.
The application deadline is March 1st. Students submitting paperwork by February 1st get an extra $50 tacked onto their scholarships if they qualify. Applications are available at SeaAlaskaHeritage.org. Worrell says the program has broadened its focus since it began.
At first, we thought we would concentrate just on education required to work in Sea Alaska, but then we found out, well, we need everything from an anthropologist to accountants to foresters. So we kind of just dropped that just because we found that we needed educated people in all areas.
Scholarships have totaled around $400,000 a year. Most of the funding comes from the Sea Alaska Regional Native Corporation. Sea Alaska has more than 21,000 Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian shareholders. About half live outside Alaska. The Coast Guard icebreaker Polar Star stood down from a rescue mission in Antarctica yesterday after the vessels it was going to assist broke free on their own. The Polar Star had been called in to clear a path for two icebound vessels, a Russian research ship and a Chinese icebreaker. The Polar Star departed Australia for Antarctica on Saturday and would have arrived on scene next week. Allison Conroy, the Coast Guard's chief warrant officer for the Pacific area, says favorable winds yesterday allowed the ships to break out of the ice on their own. That means the Polar Star's services were no longer needed. Conroy says the icebreaker will now continue on to its primary mission in Antarctica to resupply the U.S. Antarctic Program's McMurdo Station. It's the first time the cutter has returned to Antarctica since 2006. The Polar Star is the Coast Guard's only active heavy-duty icebreaker. It recently had a $90 million overhaul. The Coast Guard says the 400-foot ship can break 6 feet of ice while traveling at 3 knots. Its upper limit is 21 feet of ice. The Polar Star is homeported in Seattle.
I have no gift to break a rough-on-fun to give the king a rough-on-fun.
Tuesday was Christmas Day for Eastern Orthodox Christians overseas and in the United States. Russian Christmas, as it's sometimes called, is celebrated according to the old Julian calendar on January 7th, and in Sitka, that tradition is audible. The week-long feast of the Nativity celebration features starring the Orthodox practice of caroling. Traditionally, revelers would stay out singing until dawn, sometimes for several days in a row. In Sitka, parishioners of St. Michael's Cathedral gathered Tuesday evening at the home of Father Michael Boyle for a meal, and then to begin the star's journey through town. They sang Little Drummer Boy to get the star spinning.
I play my drum for him, ba-rum-bum-bum.
And that was a little slice of Orthodox Christmas in Sitka from KCAW's Emily Foreman. You can see a picture of the star at our website, kcaw.org. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. Stay tuned for National Public Radio. And at 8:18, we will have a local interview. Have a good morning.